Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Laying the Points with Farley Betts. This is our weekly Monday show called Blind Spots, where we go over misconceptions, overreactions, observations, analyses of every NFL game over the weekend. My name is Chris Farley, Farley Betts on X. You can catch me at Substack, farleybetts.substack.com, and you can become a subscriber for free and get plenty of good information. But if you want all of my plays, become a paying subscriber and you will get all of those official plays. Of course, this past week, my leans went 5-1. My official plays went something like, we're like 2-5 so far, maybe 3-8 or 3-7 or 3-6, something like that. I haven't done the official tally, but it ain't good. We're down about 9 units, two plays tonight, so it could get better. But the first thing to note about week two, and by the way, I did this exact same thing last year. I was actually down 19 units as of week two last season, ended up finishing plus 23 units, one winning week after another. Like, we have to trust the process. We have to know, like, we've said these things. If you're in the betting space at all, hopefully you heard this all by now. So this should be an echo chamber and something you don't have to hear. But apparently, because I still get crazy DMs from people, some of you still need to hear that it's a long-term thing, right? Like 54% of our bets win most of the time. Like that, usually your best bettors win at about a 54 to 56% clip. That means 44 to 46% of the time they're losing. We're obviously losing a little more than we're winning now, but there's no reason to panic. We've been here plenty of times before. Been doing this for over 10 years. All right, just like trust the process. I know it's not easy. I know we live in a reactionary, very short-term world, but just try. Just try, okay? Just trust me. Things will be fine. And if you're practicing smart bankroll management, appropriate bankroll management, then 1 week shouldn't kill you, right? So here we are. It wasn't great, but we won't panic. We'll move on. And there's a lot to analyze. There's a lot to get to and to note about week two, because as we know, if you start off 0-2, looking at you, Kansas City, the route to the playoffs and to become a Super Bowl contender, not easy, much harder. And now a team like the Kansas City Chiefs, for example, starts 0-2. The Chargers could be 2-0 after tonight, finding themselves in a hole. Some other teams are too, that's for sure. Most somewhat expected compared to Kansas City. But let's get to all these games. It's really fascinating psychology too from week one to week two, because if you looked good in week one, are you able to show that again, right? Like, it's legitimate. This isn't just a hoax. This isn't just a one-week thing. I'm looking at the Colts. Like, the first team that comes into my mind is the Colts, who pulled out another win in week two, impressed by that. But if you looked good in week one and then suddenly looked really bad in week two, what team comes to mind in that instance? I guess Washington. I mean, Washington started to come back in that game. I don't know. Let's go through these games. But, you know, if you looked bad in week one, you obviously want to redeem yourself, right? Like, are you able to do that? Are you able to come together as a team to show that you can be formidable? Quite a few teams did that actually in week two. Let's get to it. And let's start with my Giants and Cowboys. The Cowboys -6, which went down to -4.5 eventually, which was very annoying. Did not see that coming. That was my biggest bet of the week, Cowboys -6. Most of that was based on two things. One, Dak Prescott looking sensational in week one, and a Dallas defense that I thought played with their heads on fire, motivated, hard-hitting football in week one against the Eagles. Good enough to hang in that game and almost win it. Probably should have won it against Philly in week one. Week two against the Giants. First of all, Cowboys offensive line. Now I have some serious concerns. Of course, the Giants front seven is incredible, and they showed that. Had Dak Prescott running for that entire game. You know, like never comfortable in the pocket, pretty much. Virtually no run game. But I at least thought that their defense too, like after week one, it's like their defense had this feel in week one of, we're better than you think. Not the case in week two. I mean, when you make Russell Wilson, who looked terrible in week one against the Commanders, which I don't think the Commanders have a premier defense, but Russell Wilson threw for 450 yards. This is a game that went into overtime, of course, but he didn't do much in overtime. 450 yards, three touchdowns, had a ton of room, ton of time in the pocket. The Giants' offensive line is not good. They were without Andrew Thomas. That is a bad, bad indication of the Dallas defense, because apparently, unless they are hyper-motivated, this is who they are. And Matt Eberflus, who was supposed to get his like second coming redemption in Dallas as a defensive coordinator, you didn't do much at all to change how terrible that pass rush was for the entire game. So Dallas defense, we should indict them and at least question them, you know, put the bright light over them and say, what the hell was that? Because you made the Giants offense look really good. By the way, these teams scored 41 points in the fourth quarter alone. So this was a very crazy, crazy game. Like, you probably won't see a game like that ever again. Like, the penalties were constant. You know, a lot of sloppy football and a lot of sloppy defense is really what turned into a 40-37 game. The Giants front seven was great, but the Giants secondary, you know, could easily get exposed plenty of times. And actually, you know, Javonte Williams ran for 97 yards eventually. So the Giants didn't hold him up for the whole game either. But kind of a sloppy game, an entertaining game. The offenses showed up and Russell Wilson looked like 2013 Russell Wilson. But it's more so like that just makes me feel gross for a Dallas Cowboy defense in your home opener playing like that. Like, what are they going to do against Chicago next weekend? Are they going to be that version of the defense? Because then they're going to go up to Chicago and possibly lose. Jaguars at the Bengals. You know, you just got to say. Now, the Bengals season isn't over. They're 2-0, which is different than how they've started every season with Joe Burrow. Okay? So that's better already. But there's no Joe Burrow for the next 3 months. And my heart goes out. Like, I love Joe. I like his personality. I think he's a real dude. Doesn't get the protection he needs. Doesn't have the defense he needs. Trevor Lawrence played pretty well until he had to at the end, and then it wasn't very good at all. You know, Jamar Chase, 14 receptions, 165 yards. Like, as long as you have him out there, even Jake Browning. And Jake Browning is not bad, by the way. Like, pretty good backup. This was my worst beat of the week, the fact that the Jags didn't cover +3.5. And I have to watch this entire film back. But the fact that the Jags couldn't pull this out with Joe Burrow out, you know, their defense capitulating in the second half, 21 points for the Bengals. Most of that without Joe Burrow. Not good. Not good. And you know, the 2-0 start for the Bengals is not phony, but they got outplayed in week one, and now they have Jake Browning. Now they're about to go up to Minnesota and face a really aggressive defense. Don't love that for the Bengals. Bears and Lions. Well, first of all, if you thought the Lions were like done, like this isn't the same Lions team. Okay, well, 52 points, 500 yards of offense in Detroit. So there's not much to say about Detroit. Like, I don't think they're quite as good as last season, but they're still going to be around. They can still put up points. The Bears, on the other hand, like, let's talk about Trevor Lawrence of the Jags and now Caleb Williams of the Bears. Caleb Williams obviously hasn't played as many seasons, but very similar archetype as far as two very talented players, natural, organic talent, wasted. Not wasted, but they are far under their potential at this point. Their decision-making, the way that they process out there in clutch situations, errant throws, you know, getting a little scrambled in the pocket is very disappointing. And if you're Ben Johnson and if you're the Bears right now and you completely amped up that offensive line and there's so much talent on their offense, I mean, Roman Odunze, 128 yards, 7 receptions, 2 touchdowns, like they got guys. And they're putting up 21 points in a dome, and their defense is allowing 52 points. It's not good. you know, and if you're the Bears, and you're starting 0-2 again after all the hope that went into this season, that's, I think culturally, this is going to be really hard to overcome. Rams at the Titans. I'll say this. I said it on Twitter, but it's worth repeating. The Rams are the dark horse, the team that nobody is talking about that could win the Super Bowl this season. Like, to go into Tennessee, and I know they have a rookie quarterback, okay? But the Tennessee defense is legitimate. The Rams closed this game out in the second half, 23-6, outscored the Titans in Nashville. 5 sacks on Cam Ward. Matthew Stafford throws very efficient, 23 of 33, 298 yards. Devontae Adams, a difference maker. Puka Nacua always making catches when he needs to. You know, defense was on fire. That is not an easy win to go into Tennessee. I don't care if it's Cam Ward or, you know, who's a really bad quarterback. I don't, you know, Nate Peterson. I don't care who it is. Into Tennessee against that defense, not easy. The Rams are 2-0. Now they're going to Philly. We're seeing that line is a very respectful +4.5, now down to +4 for the Rams on the road at Philly, a team that they almost beat in the divisional rounds of the playoffs last season. Very interesting game next week at Philly, but a team in the Rams who I think the rest of the NFC should be afraid of. Defense is only getting better. The Titans are just going to, you know, they're going to storm form norm. They're going to learn. Two really, really tough defenses that Cam Ward has had to face the first two weeks of the season. Patriots at the Dolphins. The fact that the Patriots were only 1-point underdogs before this game in South Florida in September, a situation where the Dolphins are famously like blow teams out and have a serious advantage. And then the Patriots found a way to win. Like, forget the box score, forget the stats. Like, Tua was 26 to 32 for 315 yards. Okay. That's a pretty good game. You know, Tyreek Hill had over 100 yards. Still, the fact that the Dolphins found a way to lose this game, and Tua afterwards talking about the disorganization of the huddle and the, you know, the guys coming in and out, and then Mike McDaniel is like completely deflated. Like, Mike McDaniel is going to be gone very soon, in my opinion. This team is totally going to quit soon, right? I mean, players only meeting last week, what did that do? Like, was that an hour meeting? Were they going to have a two-hour meeting this week? It didn't seem to do anything. Better offense, but the Patriots put up 33 on this defense, scored in every quarter, you know, 18 in the second half. The Patriots, I don't think, are a great offense, guys. And they put up 33 on the Dolphins in Miami. Miami is 13-point underdogs on the road on Thursday night at Buffalo. And if you think about that, like, if you would have thought about that before the season started, that Miami would be 13-point underdogs on the road at Buffalo, is that something that we, like, I almost couldn't take that seriously. Even if Mike McDaniel was apparently losing the locker room, 13-point favorites, though, that's a lot for a Dolphins team that can score. But are you taking the Dolphins on the road against the Bills in week three? I'm not. 49ers and Saints, I'll say this. Robert Saleh is made to be the defensive coordinator for the 49ers. I know the Saints still put up 21. Like, Spencer Rattler is playing better than I thought he would. 3 touchdowns on his end. And also, Kellen Moore, I liked the offense's game plan. Like, they played well. Like, they competed out there. But ultimately, the 49ers defense made the plays it needed to when they needed to. They were flying around the ball, and they're still down a few guys too, right? They lost guys in the offseason. And Mac Jones, very efficient, 3 touchdowns, dink and dunk. He's very good at that. Kyle Shanahan offense can work with a lot of different quarterbacks. I think Mac Jones is like a Jimmy Garoppolo type of guy. It works. Not surprised they covered. That was one of my leans. I wish it was a pick. But the Saints are not a complete pushover either, like I thought they would be. Bills and Jets, I don't even know what to say about this game, guys. I mean, Justin Fields gets injured. That's ugly. He has a concussion. He's probably going to be out next week. Tyrod Taylor comes in. Ugly, ugly, ugly stuff from the Jets. And you got to feel terrible for Jets fans, because it's just like the direction, trajectory of this team and this franchise. They just feel like they are cursed. They also make terrible decisions. Aaron Glenn is like screaming at players on the sideline. Meanwhile, the Bills like played fine. Like James Cook had a great game, 132 yards on the ground, two touchdowns. But the Bills, like this wasn't the best version of the Bills, right? Like Josh Allen, 148 yards through the air, and they beat up on the Jets, 30-10. Like that's how bad the Jets were in week two. You talk about a difference. I was impressed by the Jets in week one. Flip it over to week two, 10 points at home. That's how they answer. Not good. Seahawks at the Steelers. This was a clunky, kind of fluky game. I mean, the Seahawks get a touchdown off of, I think that was a kickoff where the guy touched the ball and let the ball just chill in the end zone behind him. And then the Seahawks pick it up and score a touchdown. Like, what? But this is kind of, this is on brand for what I would expect from a Steelers team with Mike Tomlin and Aaron Rodgers coming out of week one, kind of lucky to win that game, right? They're lucky they have a great kicker. They go back home feeling fat and sassy. Aaron's, you know, feeling himself at the podium. Now Aaron's pissed at the podium, and they're just a little too cocky. They put up 3 points in the second half. No excuse for that. Seattle outscores them 24-3. Of course, 17-3, really, without that fluky score. Either way, Seattle would have won. Good answer from Seattle and a Mike McDonald defense who knows the AFC North. Like, that wasn't surprising. Seattle's defense, I think, could be very, very good. I think that could be a top five unit this season. But got to call out the Pittsburgh defense a little bit here. I mean, Sam Darnold, 295 yards, two touchdowns. He was efficient. Kenneth Walker III, who rarely has a good game, 13 carries for 105 yards. I mean, let's see. As a team, the Seahawks, okay, they got 117 yards rushing. But, I mean, it's a 400-yard day for the Seahawks on the road at Pittsburgh. Like, where's the Pittsburgh pride? You know, where's that Pittsburgh defense, this Hall of Fame defense they're supposed to be bringing? Oof. Pittsburgh is going to be an up-and-down team all year. I think they still have a winning season, especially now that Cincinnati's Joe Burrow is out. But, man, oh, man. Browns at the Ravens. Believe it or not, like, it's okay, so the headlines are going to say Ravens crush the Browns. Okay, the Ravens scored 21 points in the fourth quarter. Like the dam broke, the floodgates opened in the fourth quarter, all right? But it was 20-10 entering the fourth quarter. The Browns were hanging around. The Browns were playing good defense. They were flying around the ball. Lamar is 225 yards, four touchdowns, sure. But they weren't necessarily explosive offensively. The Ravens defense definitely showed up. Joe Flacco, quite a few errant throws, bad interceptions, bad decisions quite a few times. Feel bad for Joe. I thought he would play better in this game, but it wasn't like it's not as disparate as the final score looks. Of course, I had the Browns plus 12 and a half, so I'm disappointed by that. The reality is they weren't far from it. Like they were kind of close to that until the fourth quarter, and just like too many mistakes, too many turnovers. You can't give the Ravens a bunch of turnovers in Baltimore after the Ravens lost week one. Like, they're just too talented. You know, it's like the Eagles, the Ravens. These teams are just going to run a train over you if you shit the bed. And I thought the Browns played very admirable football with a less talented roster until they couldn't anymore. Too many mistakes. Like, the Ravens are very good, guys. I'm not trying to shit on the Ravens, but the Ravens weren't pulling away from the Browns until the very end of that game. Broncos and Colts. Let me take a drink before this one because I'm about to talk about Daniel Jones. Oh, God. Danny Dimes, got to give you some credit, bro. Looking good. I mean, he's looking good with the Colts. There's no, I mean, this is an indictment on Brian Daboll, right? Because Brian Daboll, the quarterback whisperer, the, you know, thought that he could make Daniel Jones into something. Of course, when you have no offensive line, that doesn't help. The Colts have one hell of an offensive line, and it's showing against a Denver defense that is one of the top units in the NFL. I got to look into Patrick Surtain's injury because that's terrible. Hopefully that's not too serious. I really have no idea. I have to look at it because that's, I saw that he went out of the game, but still Denver has a fantastic defense. Jonathan Taylor runs for 165 yards and 6.6 yards per carry. Daniel Jones throws for 316, 9.3 yards per pass. That's way over 400 yards. They're the ones that play better defense at the end of the game. They pull ahead and win this game. Kudos to Shane Steichen and the Colts and Lou Anarumo and the Colts defense, who are playing like the Bengals defense a few years ago when they went to the Super Bowl. Not necessarily great statistically all the time, but they make the plays when they need to. Colts team is a little frisky. I was impressed. The fact that they were hanging around in this game impressed me. The fact that they pulled it out at the end, I'm buying the Colts right now as a team that is well-balanced and capable and probably going to be a great ATS team all season. Panthers and Cardinals, I mean, of course, I talked about the Cardinals shitting the bed in this one all week. I did not bet on the Panthers. Panthers come back and outscore the Cardinals 19-7 in the second half. They end up covering this game. Bryce Young threw 55 times. Like, that is not a winning recipe for the Panthers. The Panthers also don't wake up until the end of these games. Like, when a team brings their best in the first half, the Cardinals cannot hang with an NFL team, apparently. I mean, 20-3 was the score at the end of the first half. Cardinals kind of just floated in the second half. So the Panthers come back. McMillan, the new wide receiver for the Panthers, looked very good. Bryce Young had some really good moments in the second half. But I don't know what to take from that because, again, the Cardinals, it was garbage time. The Cardinals knew they were going to win that game. And you know, the Cardinals have the easiest two-game schedule to open the season, right? The Saints and now the Panthers at home. Let's see who the Cardinals are when they play a real team. I don't think it's going to be that great. I think they're going to lose. But kudos to them for winning when they should. The Panthers did cover in this one, but sloppy, man. You cannot feel good about Dave Canales and the Panthers and just their roster at this point. I think there's going to be a few games where they can be frisky. Like, I have the Panthers in week 10. So look at they probably face the Saints, and that's why I have them in week 10 as maybe a possible survivor pick. But, man, Panthers, not much has improved there in Charlotte. Eagles and the Chiefs. The Eagles are frustrating for me because, I saw growing up my whole life as a Giants fan, you know, they benefit from turnovers. And the Philly, like, culture and aura, like, if they're good at all, then they're just the best thing ever, right? And they're going to be number one in power ratings for everybody again this week. I'll say both sides of that. One, on the defensive line and offensive line, what Philly has built the past 5 to 10 years is incredible. I mean, this team on offense, they get 5 to 9 yards on almost every first down with Saquon Barkley in this offensive line. This offensive line mows through defensive lines, even really good ones. Like the Chiefs, this is a really good Chiefs defense. And the Chiefs mostly limited Saquon Barkley in that run game for like the first half, first three quarters. But then when the Eagles needed to run the ball, because they don't rely on Jalen Hurts very much, guys. I mean, it's just a fact. Jalen Hurts, although he's called Michael Jordan now, like, it's insane how he's worshipped in the NFL these days. He's a good quarterback, but he is not a great quarterback. And I will never say that he's a great quarterback until he's in a situation where he actually has to be a great quarterback. But he's definitely good enough. And he made one good throw in this game that really, it put the Eagles into scoring position. But he doesn't have to do much, because this offensive line sets this team up with 2nd and 1, 3rd and 1. And then they do the tush push. And then they're on the one, you know, the goal line, and they do the tush push twice. Like, you're not stopping the tush push. I can barely say tush push anymore, but you can't stop it. Not at the 1 yard line, not when it's 2nd and 1, 3rd and 1, 4th and 1. You can't do it. And so this Philly team has a recipe. They know how to win. You know, their secondary has been questionable, but their defensive line is ferocious. They still got it. Plenty of guys to get after the quarterback and stop the run. Their offensive line is absolutely legendary at this point. And even when guys leave, they keep it going. Like, it is extremely impressive until somebody figures out how to get through this offensive or defensive line. The Eagles are just going to keep winning. And as a Giants fan, it's tough to watch because they do benefit. Like, for 2 weeks in a row, the Eagles benefited from goal line turnovers by their opponent, like giveaways, like really bad, sloppy turnovers. It doesn't change the fact that Philly doesn't turn it over. They capitalize, and their lines are impeccable, truly. On the Chiefs side, Mahomes is doing everything he can with a very poor wide receiver group for the most part. Travis Kelce is dropping passes, and it's going into another defender's arms. Maybe a little too much Taylor Swift. I mean, I imagine, you know, when you're hanging out with Taylor Swift all the time, your perspective in life changes. Maybe you're not as focused. I get that. I'm sure that would happen for most of us dudes. At the same time, like, Travis has made a few bonehead plays now in 2 weeks, and he made a major drop. That was a major drop on the goal line, flies out of his hands, turnover, Eagles ball. Casey probably goes ahead on that drive, but the whole game flips at that point. And I don't feel for Casey. Like I said before the season, I think they're going to miss the Super Bowl this season. And if there's any team that can pick themselves up and figure it out, it is the Kansas City Chiefs. But this is not the way. Like, their offense is not just not very good right now. It's Patrick Mahomes just trying to make things happen. And, like, his protection is clearly not the same, right? Like, Patrick Mahomes is running on almost every pass play. I was super, super impressed by the Falcons. The Falcons' energy on that Sunday Night Football game was through the roof. Bijan Robinson was the truth, 143 yards on the ground, caught some passes. You know, J.J. McCarthy, some really bad decisions in this game. But the Falcons' defense from the very start was extremely intense. Like, they came with the ferocity and the vengeance and the motivation of a team that's 0-1 and knows they shouldn't be, and they proved it. Michael Penix Jr., how quickly he gets that ball out of his hands was a perfect solution for the Minnesota pass rush. Like, I thought that they would get to him more often, but the Atlanta offensive line held up well enough. Michael Penix Jr. was flipping that ball out of his hand very quickly, and their defense was on fire. I mean, J.J. McCarthy and that offense could not do a thing. When J.J. McCarthy had protection, when he had time, he throws a really good ball, and he had some really good passes. And I still thought that Minnesota was going to hang around and kind of find a way to get there again, just like they did the week before. But now, 2 week sample size, we see that offensive line for Minnesota in particular, when they face a good defensive line, any kind of defensive line that can get after the quarterback, that's going to spell trouble for them. They have to figure that out because J.J. McCarthy does not have any time back there. And the kid is just too young, too green. This offense is too new for him to figure that out on the fly. And to, I mean, almost no quarterback could with that kind of lack of protection. And I think things are going to be better for Minnesota overall. But man, Atlanta brought the heat in that game. Atlanta, very impressive showing. Like, in general, I feel better about the Atlanta Falcons and their ability to be competitive in the NFC South this season. Very interesting games tonight. We got the Texans hosting the Bucs, and we got the Raiders hosting the Chargers. I do have two plays on those games. I'm looking forward to week three. I'm looking forward to my redemption, the same redemption that came last season. You know, we've only had winning seasons all 5 years that we put out our bets here in a public forum for everybody to see. So we're excited to get to week three again. Please don't panic if you're one of my subscribers or customers. Like, these things happen. We lose in betting sometimes. We know we win overall. Follow me at Farley Bets on X. Subscribe to us here on Substack, farleybets.substack.com. Check out my pieces all week on NFL Action. And we'll see you for the week three preview show on Thursday.